Yeah, thank God you're here tonight. I've been sharing this series on Wednesday nights. We talked a few weeks back about surviving stress, weathering worry, facing fear. I'm going to do something tonight that I have not done since we have been here. I have shared a couple of times on this subject, but tonight we're going to have a discussion on depression. It is in the theme work of stress and worry and fear. Take your Bible. Open to the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians this evening, if you would. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, I'm going to do something I've not done here before. But we're going to kind of open the floor for just a few moments to have more than just a preaching time, a teaching time. I do that all of the time and will continue to do so. But I would like us to have just an open floor discussion for just a few moments on the subject of depression. It is something that we all battle to a greater or lesser degree. And I would like to take you to a passage, I'm sure you know it's in the Scripture, but these are the writings of Paul himself, the Apostle, the man of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians 7, and we want to begin reading in verse 2. I'm going to give you in just a moment a bit of a context that we're going to share together. You're going to share your hearts as we share ours. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 2, Paul writes, "Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've cheated no one." Verse 3, "I do not say this to condemn, for I said before that you're in our hearts to die and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation." Now watch carefully, verse 5. "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every hand. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears." That's Paul writing. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I had cause to rejoice once more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you may suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourself to be clear in this manner. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Therefore," verse 13, "we've been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit had been refreshed. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting in Titus was found true." Verse 15, "His afflictions were greater for you as you remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything." Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight in the precious name of Jesus, guide our discussion. Help us, I pray, as we share our hearts one with the other. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said a great big amen. Amen. Be seated. I could have taken you to a number of places in the Scripture tonight. I purposely took you to the life of the Apostle Paul, a man that I have incredible admiration for, having read through, studied through his life. I want to tell you tonight, as we introduce our discussion, 2 Corinthians is the place you go if you want to be encouraged when you're bummed out. Because even he got bummed out. It is unbelievably naive of some to think that the men and women of Scripture didn't battle through things. You can't be a conqueror without something to conquer. You cannot be an overcomer without something to overcome. You can't have a testimony without a test. These men and women, at moments, came through experiences and circumstances where they really struggled emotionally. In fact, if you notice the verse, we hit it in passing, I kind of hit it a little a second time through as we were reading it. I want to show you one more time what Paul says. I'll give you the context in a second when we read it again. But notice back at verse 5 when he tells us this, bottom of verse 5, outside we were in conflict, inside we were in fear. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us. Do you see it between the lines? Paul is telling us he came through a season where he was downcast. Now, the context of this is on Paul's third missionary journey, he visits the great Roman city of Corinth where he founds the church. He was there for a season of about 3 months. A great church started there. He departed. In his return through that region, he receives word that the Corinthian church was having all kinds of problems. And people like to slam the Corinthian church. Well, Paul founded that church. He loved that church, and he loved those people in spite of all of the issues they were working through. I heard somebody just this week talking about such and such a place being like a Corinthian church. Listen, Paul loved the Corinthian church. And he writes the first epistle to the Corinthians to address a lot of different problems the church was having with doctrine and relationships and questions over communion and the gifts of the Spirit and so on and so forth. Well, as he makes his way, headed that direction of the world again, and he's in Macedonia, which again, the nation of Macedonia is essentially where he was north of what is now the current nation of Greece. Corinth would be there, situated across the Peloponnesus for some Trea and some other Roman cities. In Macedonia, where Paul was residing, he sends a messenger to the Corinthian church. He delivers the letter and returns to Paul, and then Paul sends a second messenger to the church to see how they were doing after they got his letter, and the messenger was turned away at the door, sent back to Paul with all of the worst kind of news, that they didn't receive the epistle well, that there were problems, even greater situations, there were people that were in behind Paul that were causing all sorts of havoc, and Paul hit emotional rock bottom because it was bad news. He didn't like what he heard. He was struggling with the outcome of it all. And I double doggone dare you in the next few days read all of 2 Corinthians. It's not that long. You can get through it in pretty easy sitting. And you're going to get all sorts of picture that nobody wants to talk about. That people get bummed out. Even godly people get bummed out. And even people in the Bible got bummed out. I grew up in a very straight-laced Pentecostal tradition that almost preached against counseling. The tradition I grew up in basically said, you don't need a counselor, just get alone with God. They almost preached against it. I can remember very vividly the slams that were placed on professionals that were trained to help people that were struggling. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. I've shared this with you before. I want you to hear this. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. And His gifts are manifold. There are so many different types of gifts. And God trains people to help people. And there are people that don't give people shots, that don't open their bodies for various sorts of surgery, but they're experts in sitting down and helping people. You know when people need a counselor? It's when they get stuck and somehow they can't make progress. Something's happened and they just can't get any farther. They need help and they may need to sit down and talk to somebody. Now, the ideal thing is just get on your face before God. But there are times when even you get on your face before God and you still feel stuck. Somebody used to say, people say just rebuke the devil. Sometimes he said them things, just don't buke, you know. We're lying to each other if we don't admit that we go through times of depression, times we get bummed out when we get blue, and it doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. You know, I'm not making a lot of 1, 2, 3 points tonight because we're going to have an open sharing for a few moments here. But I want to say this very, very, very clearly tonight. Just because you are battling some level of blueness or depression in your life doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Now, there are people that need God. I'm not questioning that. And there are people who are away from God that can really get profoundly in some deep, dark place. I'm not questioning that. I'm simply saying that just because as a Christian you don't have any particular thing that is standing between you and God, you can't see any, you've turned over stones, and there are just times when maybe we don't feel right and we don't feel good, and that doesn't mean God has abandoned us. A lot of people have this sort of idea that if you serve God, you're going to feel good 100% of the time. And it just isn't true. Years ago, in one of the churches that we pastored, there was a gal that came to me one day and she said, you know, is there any jobs available in the church? I said, well, not right now. We're not currently hiring. She said, oh, I wish we could. I just have told myself if I could just work with Christians, all of my problems would be over.
We all know
that is not the case. Even Christians have problems. Doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. It doesn't even mean at times that God has abandoned us. There can be times when God is trying to get our attention. But I want to talk for a few moments tonight. I'm not going to point anybody out or force anyone to say anything. But we want to have just a little bit of an open forum for a few moments on the subject of depression. And let's begin with this. Why do people get depressed? We know people do because we all face that at times. And let's talk for a few moments in a sort of a broad-based kind of way. Why do people get depressed? Why do people get bummed out? Grief. There is no doubt. If you've ever lost a loved one, it can be a really, really tough thing. And people grieve and they can feel really, that's very true. If people are not where they need to be with God, there's going to be an issue there that should lead us, or hopefully it leads us, in the right kind of direction. Now remember this. Remember this. We're all going to face challenges, but it's what we do with those challenges. It's 10% what happens to you. It's 90% of how you respond to it. And some people go through great times of disappointment, and sure, it's natural. You lose a loved one. You go through setbacks. You go through reverses. But there's more to it. How are we responding? You know, if all of a sudden you look in your mailbox and you've missed something and you owe somebody $17,000, that might be a bad day, right? You could all of a sudden feel like you've been shocked down to your dentures, and that can take you aback. Now, what do you do with it? Now, here's something that John's referencing that we're more aware of it now than we ever used to be. It's called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Unless you have actually confronted somebody that has PTSD, now let me tell you something tonight. I want everyone to hear this. You don't have to fight in Iraq or Afghanistan to have PTSD. You can develop it through the spiritual battles of life. When you're in conflict, when you're in challenge, when you're under attack, there are things that can happen to us financially. It can happen to us physiologically. There's all kinds of things that people can walk through. But I will tell you that Nancy and I have actually personally seen persons with this and do stuff they can't even dream or imagine they have done because they have experienced something that they're having a very, very hard time processing. Can I say it again? When people walk through experiences, they're having a very, very, very difficult time processing. It can lead us to a place where maybe it's a lot darker than we want it to be. Can I give us all a word of advice tonight? We need to be careful how many times we ask the question, why me? Because sometimes there are no answers to that. If we're not careful, we can get sucked into a place where we start saying, well, why me? There are times there are no answers to some of these things. And there are certain things we have to leave in our life and our process of faith where we have to leave those things in the hands of God. There's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy, it's 29:29 of Deuteronomy, that says, the secret things belongeth unto the Lord. It's referencing the fact that there are some things we will not have answers for. I can start naming things I have no answers for. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children, that they may do all the words of this law. There are some questions that God has not answered at times for us, either because we couldn't handle it, or down the road it's not going to make as big a difference as it does at this present time. But he'll grant us grace. Now, there's some other reasons why people get depressed. People can get depressed because they got some physiological issues, and we must not minimize that. There are times when people have some particular physiological imbalance. They may need some assistance to help them with that. And there's nothing, and there's no sense of defeat. There's no sense of fault on their part. But diet can play a part in that. There can be issues in some cases with hormones. There can be issues in these realms. And there's times when we, maybe if we ate a little better, maybe if we hydrated a little better, maybe if we exercised a little bit, there's a lot of things we can do to help with some of that stuff. But when we find ourselves at a place where we're stuck, and we just feel like we can't move forward, and we're not seemingly able to get past some particular thing, we may start feeling a little bit like we're on the wrong end of the equation. Hello? But there's nothing wrong with seeking help when we need the help. Go to God. Get on your face before God. Ask Him for wisdom. Start searching and researching to the best of your ability. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. But there are times when we'll face this. Anybody else want to dive in here? Why people get bummed out? Why they get depressed? Oh, there you go. Pain. Pain. I've been where Ed's been when you're in so much pain. Anybody else, you've had some setback physically, you were in pain like 24/7? It is not an easy thing to process. When you live through that, it changes your whole view of people who deal with pain. And it also helps you to change your view about medications. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to hear me preach against medicines. Because every perfect gift cometh down from God. He's the one that gave the wisdom and the guidance to doctors and physicians to do what they do. And these people that preach against doctors are just numbskulls. Because God provided the wisdom to these men. When you study the history of medicine, it is crazy the insight these men and women have had that have made our lives healthier and happier. You know, the medicine they use to treat dogs for heartworms, they've been doing that for a long time. Well, in Africa particularly, they had a condition called Blackwater fever that was killing people by the thousands. And they didn't know what to do about it. They did not have a cure. And all of a sudden, God spoke to a doctor and said, why don't you think about using that medication you're using to treat dogs for heartworms and try it on these people? And all of a sudden, bam, cured. Now, who gave the doctor that insight? It surely wasn't the enemy, because the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, right? God gave that doctor the wisdom. In my youngest years, I battled as a young child migraines, very, very serious migraines. Well, like I told you, I came up in a church where the answer to everything was, you don't need this, you don't need that, you just need to go to God. And I grew up in that church, and I remember one time, I was in my teenage years, I had a terrible migraine, didn't leave to go home, stayed in the service. I was kneeling on the front pew, and I was praying for God to heal me of that condition. I was just in my teenage years. I was praying for God to touch me. And a dear seasoned saint came up to me and put into my hand and said, take this when you get home. Now, I didn't question this seasoned saint of the church. And I looked in my hand, and there was a Tylenol. And I went to that saint later on and said, why did you do that? And she said, it was because God gave the doctors the wisdom to develop this. And if he helped them, he can help you. If you start feeling like that, take a Tylenol. Well, from that time till now, when that starts coming on, I don't wait until I feel like taking somebody out. Take the medication. Now, don't over-medicate. We don't want to live on medications. And we don't want to take so much of it that we probably ought to be thrown in prison for dealing. I'm not saying that. But I am saying if it's there, use it with wisdom. Take it till you don't need it anymore. Give guidance. If you need instruction, go to a doctor. Get some help in these sorts of things. I'm just trying to emphasize tonight that it's not against God's will to seek a counselor, take medications. They can be of great, great assistance. And if there's something and you know you don't feel right, it's okay to talk to somebody about that. I just don't feel right. Maybe there's something that needs to be given attention. Any other thought here why people get depressed? How many have ever had the enemy lie to you? He is a liar and the father of lies. Listen to this. I know there's some difference of opinion what I'm going to say to you. My personal belief is though the enemy can plant thoughts in your mind, he can't read your thoughts. And the reason I believe that is because in 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about that if the enemy had known the intent, he never would have did what he done to our Lord. So he couldn't read Christ's mind, could not read his thoughts, and he can't read yours. But he can plant thoughts. Sometimes the thoughts that go through our mind have come through the enemy. He can plant a thought. He can plant a dream. He can plant an image. There are times when we need the spirit of discernment. The spirit of discernment is not that person sitting in the back of the audience with their arms crossed who's criticizing everything that's going on. I got the spirit of discernment. No, that's the spirit of skepticism. No, discernment is the ability to know from which spirit a certain thing has arisen. There are three spirits in the world. There's the Holy Spirit, there's the demonic spirit, and there is the human spirit. Now, there are times when we think certain things and we feel certain ways, and it has no other explanation than a pizza too late at night. Shouldn't have ate that late. No wonder I feel like garbage today, right? There are times when we read a certain thing, watch a certain thing, and we might have a dream in relationship to something that's been currently in our thoughts and in our mind. Now, there are times, without a doubt, God speaks to people. I've been telling you that occasionally when we have a few moments, we've been binge-watching some stuff. And there was a forensics files programming. The people in the program called it a psychic. It wasn't a psychic at all. It was a gal in a church that had a prophetic word, who knew where a body had been buried and told the medical examiners, and they found the body in the exact spot. They said this gal attended a church, made a call, said she'd been shown a vision of where a body was buried. That's not psychic. That's God speaking. Well, discernment is the ability to understand from what source this has come. Now listen, the enemy can plant a thought even in a believer's mind. You say, where do you get that? Well, remember Simon Peter? You know, here's the one that said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this I'll build my church. Well, within short order of that, he says to Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem to give my life, Peter said, may it never be. And Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't saying Peter was demon-possessed. What he was saying is the thought that had been planted in Peter's mind at that moment came from the enemy. I'm personally convinced that in the inner cities of America, where there is these unexplainable drive-by shootings, in my mind, there is the enemy that at times informs people of certain things and plants thoughts in people's minds, and they aren't able to discern the difference between this thing or that thing, and all of a sudden they're involved in certain things and going in certain ways. Listen, sometimes the enemy can come and plant in our heart, in our mind, something that can really have a lasting impact. And we think of deliverance at times being about bringing people forward and laying hands on them and they're puking up in paper bags and all that kind of stuff. There are times when people have been, and I've seen people, and many of you have seen people, delivered from a demonic presence in their life. But I will tell you this, there are also times where people need just as great a deliverance from stuff that's been planted in their minds. It may not even be a reality, but it's come from darkness, and it can have an effect. It absolutely can. Anybody else in the house? Why do people get bummed up? A spirit of defeat. There are times where people have walked through circumstances and situations for who knows how long, and there's a process we call overgeneralizing. And what it means is you go through a certain experience and then you tell yourself that every other experience will be just like that one. You can have a setback and then a person says, oh, well, so my life will be setbacks. And that just is not the case. But when we go through places of challenge, it's easy to feel defeated. Now, I'm going to say something tonight that is absolutely biblical. To fail doesn't make you a failure. To fail does not make you a failure. To go through a defeat is not the end of the season. Any athletes in the house besides me? Played ball at some level? Basketball, baseball, football, you name it? You know how you have a winning season? One more win than defeat. Is that right? One more win than a defeat makes you a winner, makes you have a winning season. But there are times where people go through such a sense of defeat that they feel like it's over. It's over. It's done. And the situation is never going to change. All of us need to memorize the 10-finger prayer. We've taught it to our grandson, and he has used it on the ground. And it is so powerful. The 10-fingered prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we go through a place of reverse, maybe something didn't go the way we had anticipated, that is not the end of the ball game. Because we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. As that great apostle Yogi Berra used to say, it's not over till it's over. Keep on keeping on until God tells you different. It's amazing how many wonderful things that have happened when people just stayed at it. As long as you still got life and breath, keep at it. Keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on working. And I know when you feel defeated, sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to want to go at it again because you feel like all of your impetus has been sucked out. But we have to remember that just as there was manna on the ground every morning for the children of Israel and twice as much on the eve of the Sabbath, there's going to be manna on the ground again tomorrow where God's going to provide. And somehow He makes ways with even seem to be ways. Greater is the one who is in us than the one who's in the world. There's going to be times when we're going to have those places, and it's okay. It's okay to have a day. Now, you don't want this to go on for very long, but it's okay to have a day when you want to pull the covers up over your head and start singing that great hymn, "Make the World Go Away." It's okay to have a day like that, but you can't live like that. You can't stay like that. We can have a moment when we feel not real happy with some things. It's okay to find ourselves in a place of that nature. But the thing we have to be careful of and we have to guard ourselves of is when it seems to begin to protrude across other platforms of life. It's okay to go through a place of defeat, and maybe you've come out a little shorter end on the stick than you thought you were going to. But you have to remember there are still going to be opportunities for us. And we have to remember who we're serving, who's Lord of our life. Anybody else in the house want to share something else? Here's something very interesting. Now, I should have known this a long time ago. Haven't learned about it until recent years. Are you ready for this? Vitamin D needs sunshine to be activated. We had a builder, the man that built our first home, who really struggled with this. And I've got a mechanic I know that works with us, helps keep our cars in roadworthy condition. He admits he has the same kind of a thing. They have proven biologically that vitamin D needs sunshine to be activated. Now, when you're bummed out, you want to stay in the dark, under the covers, don't pull the shades, don't pull the blinds, right? But they tell us we need 15 to 20 minutes of sunshine every day. Now, there's days that are gloomy. They're great gloomy days, right? So take advantage of the sunshine He wants. And get out, get up, do something productive. Remember, message I've shared with you before, turn out, look up, reach around. You know, we have to remember the sun is shining. There's something about that that we're only beginning to learn like we should. But there are people that we're being told that have huge vitamin D deficits. They may even need a supplement to help with that. But what they are consuming, they need to get outside to activate it. So you need to get out, get up, throw open the shades, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the beauty of the day. When we feel bummed out, we want to do everything to the opposite of that. They even say that when you're bummed out, if you don't do anything else, get up and shower and at least get ready for the day. That in and of itself will start you in the right direction. Exercise can do a lot to help with that. You may not be Lance Armstrong or, you know, Usain Bolt or some great star, anything, but you can still go out and do whatever may be your flavor of the month. You can get out and you can walk. You can get out and you can run. You can get out and ride a bike. Or you can just go out and walk on the sidewalk. Or there's things that we all can do that will benefit us. This is not a drug thing. It's a physiological thing that the more that you're able to do that, your body has something called endorphins. And there's an enzyme in the body that when you get out and you begin to do a little of that, it's released, and it'll actually give you kind of a natural kind of feeling of well-being, and you'll feel better about life, and you'll feel better about things. There's things that we can do naturally to help us. Anybody else in the house? Why do we get bummed out? Bad thoughts are like a bad piece of meat. The more you chew them on, the bigger they get. Anybody in the house want to share what you do when you feel bummed out that has helped you? I know all of us do different things when we find ourselves in particular places. What do you do? Praise. Can we put Philippians 4:8 on the screen? This is exactly what Paul says to us after he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds at rest in Christ Jesus, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So there's something to be said that when we find ourselves in a bad place, the more positive things, praiseworthy things, as he references here, we do, the better we're going to be. Very good. Anybody else? You all understand what nip it in the bud references? Take care of it early. Don't let it continue to stew and fester. And I know sometimes we get a little ways into it before we reach half. Sometimes I feel so dense because sometimes we're a little ways into it, but finally realize where this has come from as soon as you recognize. Nobody else? Singing praises? Praise music. Can I tell you something? Don't listen to country, western music when you feel bummed out. You know what happens if you play a country song backwards, right? You get your job back, your wife back, your health back, so on and so forth. There are some things we probably ought not to watch, but praise music, the more edifying it is, hello? The more uplifting it is. If you don't know what to listen to, just get yourself tapped into some Hillsong music. You'll be just fine. That is powerful stuff that lifts the soul, that lifts the spirit. And the thing is, depression wants to basically cause us to implode, to cave inward. Praise lifts us outward. And turn on a really upbeat, good, positive Christian radio station. There's some wonderful. Sirius XM has got a praise channel. I think it's 63. That's a powerful channel of work. We sing a lot of the songs here. It's just a constant stream of praise music. And once again, praise talks about think on those things, lovely things, praiseworthy things, so on and so forth. Anyone else? How many of you can testify how good it feels to be a blessing to somebody else? And it may not even necessarily be that you have to go and spend 8 hours at the Salvation Army, though that's a good idea. But maybe if you're at the store or at the gas pump or whatever, there might be something you can do to make a difference in somebody's life. Give something to them. Help them in some way. The neighbor, somebody that you work with or someone you see. Now, there's something to be said here we've not said before, and we should have hit a long time ago in this discussion. Pray for one another. It's okay to call somebody and say, I'm having a bad day. You don't want to call somebody who's got the gift of tongues, but you do need people that aren't going to criticize you or judge you or think less of you that say, would you pray for me? I need prayer. I need encouragement. And it's okay. And even if somebody hasn't called you, if you're going through your day and all of a sudden somebody comes to your mind, The Spirit of God will trigger that in us. And maybe he'll impress you. Call Anthony. Just pick up and call him or send him a text and say, hey, man, I'm praying for you. I did that recently to a minister of the gospel I've known for a long, long time that I had very little contact with in recent years. I had him on my heart and had his number still in my database. And I sent him a text. I said, I don't know anything about anything. Nobody's told me anything, nothing. I said, I am praying for you today. Text came back in less than a minute. You will never know today how much that meant to me. You and I never know when somebody's really going through a buzzsaw and your prayer, your encouragement, your call may make all the difference. It may stop them. It may stop them in the middle of something they're considering, God forbid, to do. God will direct you to people that can be a blessing to you. Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Can I encourage you with this last thing, then we're going to finish in prayer? This thing is so around us now that people are battling more than they ever have. And some of the people that we rub shoulders with, people that we work with, people that live near us, stuff is happening, and people time and time and time again will say, I had no idea. We all need to be an encouragement to as many people as we can. And I'm not saying we don't have our moments, we all do. But if the Holy Spirit lays somebody on your heart, or if you're out and about and you suddenly feel compelled to say something, if nothing else, smile at people. Be optimistic. Say words of encouragement. It is amazing how God will use us in ways that we'll never dream or imagine. Shall we stand tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray this evening that you'll take the words we have shared together in this series on the emotional battles that we face in life. Father, if there be anybody in the house this evening that is feeling particularly low, Holy Spirit, I pray that even in our time of discussion that somehow you'll take what has been shared, not just by myself but by others. And I pray that a little bit of light will shine across the panorama of their heart. Lord, life's tough, but you've made us a little tougher. Help us to be the people we're supposed to be. And God, I pray that you will be there in those low moments just as you was your servant, Paul, who went through a place of utter despair with respect to this Corinthian church that he loved so much, and yet, though he heard words of his servants being turned away, there came that moment when the word was received with joy, and it brought him joy. But he just had to hang in there long enough to get to that place. Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight to encourage your people, lift people's hearts and spirits, pull them out of dark places. Maybe if they don't know what to do, I pray that you'll supernaturally send people where they are at the most necessary of moments, and that they in turn might comfort others with the comfort they have received from you and them. Bless your people. Thank you for this victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And thank you, though tears may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.